Title of the text today is The God of Israel versus the Gods of Egypt. And this is part 5 of this series. The God of Israel versus the Gods of Egypt. Our companion text found in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9, only one verse. Very important verse for us to govern the rest of our lives. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. I want to read that again. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In other words, when God wants to do a great thing through you or me, if our heart is loyal to him, Satan will not cause us to abandon the mission. He will not cause us to doubt what God is doing because our heart is loyal to God. One last time. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And I want to remind us that the book of Exodus is a book that shows the power of God to deliver any nation, any person from the physical bondage to slavery in this physical world and spiritual bondage to slavery in the spirit world. The book of Exodus shows the power of God to keep his word and his covenant to whom he made the covenant. And so then, physical bondage comes in many forms. The brain creates a compulsive craving for a specific substance or behavior that we have introduced it to. And we find ourselves stuck in the cycle of seeking the reward that substance brings and indulging in that substance until it becomes an addiction, regardless of the outcome. If you look on the handout here, pictures of the brain, a picture is worth 1,000 words, a picture of a brain modified by our substance of choice, be it alcohol, cigarettes, sex, drugs, the internet, shopping, gambling, food, porn, whatever it may be, all of these addictions release dopamine in the brain, which creates a craving for more and more and more and more and more, regardless of the outcome, regardless of whether we destroy our families or not. It's amazing that the word itself, dopamine, substance abuse, the brain creates a craving for this substance, dope, for more and more and more of it, regardless of the outcome, at which point we have become a slave to our addiction. Amen. And most of us fit in 3 categories. Either it is a behavioral addiction or a substance addiction or an impulse addiction. Impulse. I didn't plan on doing it. I tried to stay away, but I gave in. Impulse addiction. And if our lives haven't taught us anything else, Brother Chad, it has taught us that by now, if we're not successful in the spirit world, we will never be successful in this physical world. Amen. We'll experience seasonal victories over our addiction. We will leave here and maybe in a week or two or a month or two or maybe even a year, we will eventually relapse, rehab, and repeat. Relapse, rehab, and repeat. Amen. Seasonal victories over our addiction. If we are not successful in the spirit world, we will never be successful in this physical world. I think about the rich, Brother Carrier, and they build bigger bonds for their goods, and they claim and acquire all of this wealth, fly around in these very beautiful private jets, but they have no relationship with God in the spirit world. And then they shall die and open up their eyes in hell. And so we see, if we're not successful in the spirit world, we will never be successful in this physical world. Jesus said to the rich man who built bigger bonds, he said, I have been blessed. I have acquired wealth, so much wealth that now I need to build a bigger bond. And Jesus said, thy food, this night your soul is required of you. And then who shall these things be? Amen. So then if our lives ever taught us anything else, Brother Joshua, it should have taught us by now that if we're not successful in the spirit world, we will never be successful in this physical world. Seasonal victories, then relapse, rehab, and repeat. Relapse, rehab, and repeat. Many of us, Brother Otis, are in bondage to the weakness of our flesh because we have not completely surrendered our life to Jesus the Christ. Romans 8:14 teaches us that for as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's a scripture we want to write down. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And what we do, we go back to the text, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, after Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. As he came up out of the water, the scripture says that the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him as a dove and lighted on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 said, and then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights while he fasted. The same Spirit that resides in you and I this very second in time. So Romans 8:14, for as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If Jesus can surrender his life to be led by the Holy Spirit, so can we. So and then in the text and throughout the entire book of Exodus, we see God using one man to rule his people, Moses. Isn't that amazing? One plus God is a majority. That don't make sense in our humanism in this physical world, but one plus God is a majority. But in the text, we're also going to see Satan using one man, the Pharaoh, using one man to rule his people. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And in the book of Genesis, we have a good example of God using one man to save the entire world, and his name was Joseph. There came a 7-year famine, and God gave Pharaoh a dream that none of his magicians and sorcerers and soothsayers could interpret. And God gave Joseph, who was in prison at the time, the dream and the interpretation of the dream. And Joseph told Pharaoh that 7 years of plenty is going to come and 7 years of famine. 7 fat cows was in Pharaoh's dream and 7 skinny cows was in Pharaoh's dream. And the skinny cows ate the 7 fat cows. And what that meant, Joseph told Pharaoh, there's going to be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And unless we store up in these 7 years enough food to last for 7 years, we're all going to die. So if you know that story, God used one man, Joseph, sold into slavery by his brothers, one man to save the world. Everybody came to Egypt, the most powerful nation at that time to be saved. One man, not the Pharaoh, not any Egyptian, but a Hebrew man, a son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to save the whole world, Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. One plus God is a majority. One plus God is a majority. Never forget that. We go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong to any man, any woman whose heart is loyal to him. Welcome, my brother. Somebody let him know where we at in the scriptures, please. And so then, in 2023, as it was in 2022, as it shall be in 2024, God is looking for any man, any woman whose heart is loyal to him to show himself mighty and strong and do great things in this earth. A good example is Billy Graham, evangelist Billy Graham. God used one man, Billy Graham, to go all throughout America and different parts of the world preaching the gospel of Jesus. One man whose heart was loyal to him, and the name Billy Graham is known in all 50 states and around the world. One man whose heart is loyal to him, that is all he's looking for, any man, any woman, to show himself mighty and strong. Amen. Whatever we have done in the past is the past. What God done in the past, he can do in the future, but whatever we've done in the past is the past. We can repeat the past, or we can embrace a new future. Amen. But whatever God has done in the past, he can do in the future. If God has delivered us from drugs once, he can deliver us from drugs again. And so for you and me, that's good news. I know he delivered me from addiction to alcohol. But if you know my testimony, Sister Kim, when I joined the Army, I was not a chaplain. I was a logistician, a supply guy. And I did my share of heroin and cocaine and acid and speed and smoked weed and smoked hash over in Germany and alcohol. And to stay in the military, you had to put all those drugs down. But drinking was legal. So I stand before you a recovering alcoholic. God has intervened in my life. And has me where I am right now, paying it forward. Every veteran I meet wants to get cleaned up, wants to be restored, and wants to pay it forward, wants to help other veterans, which is exactly what God wants us to do. And so then, if God has delivered us from addiction once, he can deliver us from addiction again and again and again. What we don't understand is, when God delivers us from addiction and we re-embrace the addiction, now Satan makes the addiction worse than before. I hope you can understand what I'm saying. When God delivers us from addiction and then we go back and re-embrace that addiction, Satan in the spirit world is going to make that addiction worse than before. How do we know? If you can turn in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 43 through 45. Three verses. Matthew chapter 12, 43 through 45. And the word of God reads, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. This is going on in the spirit world that we have no eyes on, but God has told us what happens, what is happening in the spirit world, and telling us what happens when an unclean spirit is cast out of a man. Verse 43 again, Matthew 12, 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. But get this, verse 44, don't ever forget. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I was cast out. That's assignment. There's a demonic spirit assigned to you and I to ruin our life. Jesus said the devil come but to steal, kill, and destroy. And in a world we cannot see, God is telling us, Jesus is saying there is a demonic spirit assigned to you and I to ruin our life. Verse 44 again, then the demonic spirit says, I will return to my house from which I came out. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. How is it that he is able to get back in the house he came out? Because the house that he came out of, that person did not embrace God as their Lord and Savior. Did not embrace a life of a child of God. Did not embrace the Holy Scripture. That person went back to their addiction. Went back to that life the way it was. Before it was cast out. All through the New Testament, we hear of Jesus and his disciples going through Israel, casting out demons. But the Spirit said, I'm going to check and see if I can come back into the house I was cast out. And when he came, he found it empty, swept, and clean. In other words, this person did not embrace the law of Moses. Did not go to the synagogue. He did not go to worship God. They went back to the way things were. In verse 45, and then he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits, a total of eight now, seven other spirits more wicked than he was. And it dwell inside the person. And the last state of this person is worse than the first. And so shall it be with this wicked generation, Jesus says. So we can be delivered from alcohol and drugs when we leave the VA, this rehab, but once we re-embrace the addictive lifestyle in the spirit world, we have opened up the door for a greater addiction than before. The good news for you and I is that once we embrace Christ our Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, there is no way we can have a demonic spirit and the Holy Spirit in the same temple. That's good news for you and I. But the thoughts that the demonic spirits put in our head are like a microphone. When we re-embrace alcohol and drugs to a point where we are more addicted the second time than we were the first time. I know you understand what I'm saying. So things are happening in the spirit world that God has warned us of. And unless we come to church, unless we be in his word, unless we be on our knees, we will fall back into our old ways, back into addiction, back into the life before we came to the VA. And so we see now, we are privileged as Christians because of the Holy Scripture, because of the New Testament, to know what's going on in the spirit world that we cannot even see. We have an enemy greater than us, the devil, greater than us in power and might. We cannot see what he is planning. We cannot see the attacks that he has set up for us, the traps, the attacks, and we walk blindly into them. But God has told us in the scriptures what's going on in the spirit world. He's only told this to we who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior and actually read the scriptures and actually come to church. And actually do what the scriptures say. Because the blessing is, blessed are the hearers and the doers. Not just the hearers. Blessed are the hearers and the doers of God's word. And so we see now, many of us don't have a clue of what is happening in the spirit world. Because we have more of a love for the things of this world than God. We have more of a love for the pleasures of this world than God. I'm so glad I get to say we every time I preach. We have a greater love for the pleasures of this world than God. But we also have a power greater than the devil's. That power is Christ. We have the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at work within us by the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. And so for 2,000 years, since Christ has died on the cross, God has told us what is going on in the spirit world. And because we have more of a love for the things of this world than God, many of us are just not learning this. But it's been written to the church 2,000 years ago. Greater is he that is in us, the Holy Spirit, than all the devils in the world. There is no reason a single one of us in this room should leave here still in addiction. Leave here not thriving. There is no reason any one of us in this room should leave here still in addiction and not thriving. If we embrace the cross of Jesus with our whole heart, mind, and strength, we will leave here thriving. We will reclaim all that the devil has taken. All it requires is the exercise of our free will. And so we see now, Satan is so powerful, brothers and sisters. Don't think he's not. He's so powerful that God warned us of him. God said that he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. God is saying in the world that we cannot see, we have an enemy greater than us who goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy. He said this to us over 2,000 years ago, and we still embrace the pleasures of this world. This is not a condemnation. This is an awakening. Ephesians chapter 6, God tells us if we want to be proactive instead of reactive, we need to do what's written in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 17. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, the word of God reads, finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In our flesh, we cannot accomplish much of nothing. In our flesh, we desire to be free of addiction. In our flesh, we desire to be the hero that we are for serving our country. But in the weakness of our flesh, and in the spirit world, provoking us to go to have another drink, to go smoke another rock, to go snort another line, in the weakness of our flesh, we give in to the powers in the spirit world. Isn't that something? In a world we cannot see, there is a power greater than us, convincing us we need to drink. We need to get high. We need to forget about our problems. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God. This armor is not physical, it's spiritual. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil's schemes, the devil's tricks, the devil's strategies. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Paul is teaching us that the devil has strongholds in government, strongholds in the church, strongholds in your house. And so he says, therefore, verse 13, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the devil, against evil, in the evil day. Having done all, stand your ground. Paul is saying the armor of God equips us to stand our ground and be proactive instead of reactive. And so then, verse 14, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. These are the components of a soldier's field gear. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness, and with your feet shod with the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the devil. Did you hear that? The shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows or darts of the devil. God is saying the devil is going to hit you with his schemes, his tricks, his strategy. He is going to hit his mark. The question is, can you extinguish the flaming arrows that he sent our way in the spirit world? We cannot even see any of this that God is telling us about. But it is happening right now, and it has been happening since we were born. It'll be happening after we dead and gone to our children and our grandchildren and our great children and our great-great-grandchildren if they don't pick up this word and read it for themselves. So we have an obligation to get our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren to Jesus. My daughter's 30, and my other daughter's 31. It's too late for me to try to tell them what to do, but I can influence my grandchildren to Jesus.